Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The U.S. stock market is on track for its worst one-day decline so far this year. The slide comes as China retaliates to the latest round of U.S. tariffs. When this trade war began last year, we spoke with some local businesses who were directly affected. So today we're going to check back in with some of those industries to see how their businesses are faring. Starting with John Weaver. He's the Chief Operating Officer of Massachusetts Biomedical Initiatives in Worcester. It's an incubator that's home to 31 biotech startups. And in September, he told us he was concerned that the trade war would stifle growth of his startups. But today, he says, that hasn't been the case.
What we've kind of seen on the ground here is a lot of the concerns that folks had didn't come through. And frankly, I think a lot of that nervousness or hesitation, at least for our little microcosm of the industry, has gone away.
But another sector is still feeling the impacts, agriculture. So let's bring in Mark Duffy. He's on the board of directors of Agrimark Family Dairy Farms, which is the co-op best known for making Cabot cheese. He also operates Great Brook Farm in Carlisle. Hi there, Mark.
Good afternoon.
It's good to talk to you again. We spoke back in August, and I recall you expressed concern about the future because of these Chinese tariffs. So how's business doing today?
Well, I would have to say it's been a pretty rough experience for agriculture. We worked extremely hard to not only supply food, high-quality food for Americans, but actually to service the world with protein, especially protein. And unfortunately, our system has been disrupted. Prices that we thought were going to increase to a sustainable level were damaged by the tariffs, and we've lost some markets. And it's been pretty rough on farming.
How rough? I mean, have some of your colleagues had to, shut down altogether or pause operations? What's been the toll?
Oh, yes. And across the United States, it varies somewhat are farmers more diversified? Are they getting some help from their local government? But the bottom line is it's been a real tough experience, and a lot of dairy farms have gone out of business, pretty much driven by the price of milk.
I remember that when we spoke last time, Mark, you said that you felt like a pawn in this larger trade war. But I guess I'm wondering if the long-term payoff is better relationships or better business terms for you to do in China, will it be worth it?
That's not my expectation. I mean, I think we're optimists. As farmers, we're optimists. It's springtime again. We're putting seeds in the ground. We're hoping we're going to have a good growing year. But in some areas, we've lost 8, 9, 10% of the farmers in the last year. I mean, that's devastating. For many cases, those farms have been going for generations. And this was really the last kick that drove their farm out of business.
Sorry to hear that report, Mark. That's Mark Duffy. He's on the board of directors for Agrimark Dairy Farms, the co-op best known for making Cabot cheese. Thanks a lot for your time today. I'm sure we'll be catching up with you again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, let's turn now to Cape Cod and Brian Wick, who is the executive director of the Cape Cod Cranberry Growers Association. He joins us on the line from Plymouth. Hey there, Brian.
Good afternoon.
So we just heard a sort of disheartening report there from Mark Duffy in the dairy industry. Now, how have the last 8 months been for you folks in the cranberry industry?
They haven't been so great either. China was one of our markets that we've seen tremendous growth. In the last 5 years, we've seen over 200% increase in sales, and we were expecting that to continue, and the tariffs have certainly slowed that down quite dramatically. And the industry itself has been struggling with oversupply, causing some pricing, very serious pricing concerns for our growers. And so we were looking at export markets as a way to get out of that situation, and this is really coming at a really bad time.
Yeah, fill us in, Brian, a little bit on what that business is like. So we know that today China is retaliating, imposing new tariffs. I mean, what is the market for you when you're exporting to China like? Is that a big market for you?
Yeah, it's become one of our largest markets in a very short period of time. We've started with some of the bigger cities, and we're doing quite well there with the Chinese consumers were very interested in the healthy products that, that cranberries have, the health attributes, the flavor. So our products were doing very well over there, and we're starting to expand out into some of the secondary markets over there. So we had tremendous growth opportunity, and we still do. It's just now with the tariffs have put on, in some cases, there's a 70% tariff on some of our products. So that's a huge cost to have to absorb, and it's definitely, like I said, causing a big slowdown in our expectations.
I remember, though, Brian, when we've spoken in the past, you've told me that China doesn't have a big domestic cranberry market. So is that enough for you to overcome? In other words, if you're kind of the only option for people to get the cranberry products that they want, wouldn't that maybe be enough to overcome these new tariffs?
Potentially, but the issue that you have is with cranberries, they can be substituted. So if the price becomes too high, a consumer or a business over there that's buying our raw ingredients may choose to substitute it with another dried fruit or another fruit product. So that's the challenge that we have. And given that cranberries are not something that's known to most of the rest of the world, when we go into a new market, we're starting at a base of zero, explaining what a cranberry is, why they want to consume it, finding the right product form. And so we can't just jump into another foreign market and deliver our cranberries over there. We'd be starting all over again.
We just heard Mark Duffy say that he's known some dairy farmers who've had to shut down. Have you run into that in your industry? Do you know of some cranberry bogs that have had to close?
I wouldn't say that are any bogs that have gone out of business as a direct result of the tariffs. That's probably overstating it. But certainly our industry has been struggling for 5-6 years or so with low pricing. And for some growers, they just haven't been able to hold on to their farms. So this is certainly not helping that situation. So it's exasperating an already tough economic situation.
All right. Brian Wick, Executive Director of the Cape Cod Cranberry Growers Association. Stand by, if you would. I want to bring in another voice for some more analysis. Brian Brenberg is chair of the program in business and finance at the King's College in Manhattan. And he says that President Trump is right to keep the pressure on China to force the country to enact meaningful changes to their trade laws. Hello, Brian.
Callum, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for your time. And I'm wondering what you see as the ultimate goal here. Maybe you could just sort of give us the broader context. Like, what are the chief issues at stake here that the Trump administration is trying to resolve?
Sure, yeah. I mean, the big issue in China, and it has been this way for decades now, has been the threat to intellectual property, trade secrets, all these sorts of things in China for U.S. businesses. And so really the Trump administration has focused its efforts in the past several months to go after those issues, asking China to change its laws, to change its practices so that a U.S. company in China isn't forced to give up intellectual property, isn't forced to enter into a joint venture with a Chinese company simply to access the Chinese market. You know, your previous guests were talking about the opportunity to sell in China. It's true for agricultural products, and it's true for every other product as well. Most companies are looking to China as a huge growth market. They want more access, and they want the Chinese to open up that access without having to give up some of these trade secrets that their companies depend on to differentiate their products.
So these issues that the Trump administration has identified are not brand new. I mean, they're bipartisan, right? I mean, these are things that people have been complaining about for years. But I guess the question is whether the president has the right approach, Brian. I mean, do you think that continuing to up the ante on these tariffs is the way to go?
Well, tariffs have certainly gotten China's attention. Other things have been tried in the past, complaining to the WTO, the World Trade Organization, but that really hasn't moved the needle. What's interesting here is tariffs are a high-stakes game. I mean, there are real consequences for tariffs domestically for U.S. businesses and consumers, but they matter in China as well. China's economy has really struggled under these tariffs. It's brought the Chinese to the table, and it looked like, up until last Friday, it looked like we were going to have a meaningful agreement in the works. I mean, we were talking about a signing ceremony just days before that. And China backed away. They wanted to water down their promises. So it's certainly a high-stakes game, but it has proven to be one where China's at the table. And up until recently, it really looked like they were ready to do something significant.
But you said that, and remember, I was reading an opinion piece you'd written for USA Today about the important distinction between just making administrative changes and promises versus actually changing Chinese law, right? I mean, can you elaborate on that? You don't seem like you trust the Chinese government unless it's actually written into the law.
Well, you know, the problem has been that over several decades, China has promised time and again to do something about these market access issues, you know, U.S. businesses being able to access the market or the subsidies that China provides to companies or the intellectual property issues. They've made those promises, but what they haven't done is codify those promises. In other words, put the credibility of the regime publicly behind these promises. And so as a result, not a lot has changed. That, I think, is what the Trump administration and the chief negotiators were really going for here. They wanted China to publicly put the credibility of the regime behind legal changes. And then on that Friday night, they got the U.S. got the edits from China. And, oh, look, all of those legal changes that they had been talking about were pulled out. And instead, the Chinese were saying, look, just trust us that at a regulatory level, we'll make sure that these things don't happen. Well, it's been the regulatory level where all the chicanery has happened. That's where all the problems have been created. So I think the U.S. said, we're not going to trust you to fix the problem by using the same machinery that's caused all the problems. That, I think, has been the real rub over the past week.
I want to just bring it back, Brian, though, to this this question of the sort of short-term pain for the long-term gain, right? I mean, you write in your USA Today piece that an escalating trade war will hurt both sides, but the only sustainable long-term solution is to push China to accept reforms, and that will be good for both sides. So
yep.
that sounds like a nice light at the end of the tunnel, but I guess in the meantime, we see the market struggling today, so investors seem to be worried, and we've talked to a couple of farmers now who say that they're struggling too. So what's your message to them to preach patience?
Well, look, the long term is very good. If we can get where the administration says it wants to go, which is to reduce trade barriers, both at the on the U.S. side and the China side, that is very good for U.S. businesses. That's very good for farmers. It's very good for cranberry growers. I mean, they want access to the China market, and that's fundamentally what we're going for here. At the end of the day, the only thing that benefits both sides is really honest free trade. That's the opportunity. Tariffs are the lever that the U.S. is trying to pull right now to get there. And, you know, voters are going to have to judge the president on how well he does that. You know, is he as good of a negotiator as he claims to be? Can he get results? If he can, it'll be great. But that's what he has to deliver. And markets are concerned right now because they're simply looking at the negotiation process and they're saying, this looks like we've hit a standstill. So we'll see. You know, the president is using a lot of tough rhetoric here. He's talking about the benefits of tariffs. I think what he's trying to do is show China he's serious. He's trying to make this a credible threat to get them back to the table and probably back to the place we were a week and a half ago when it looked like we were very near a deal.
So Brian Wick at the Cranberry Growers Association on the Cape, what do you hear about that? You hear Brian Brenberg saying if you can hang in there, the long-term payoff could be good. Are you willing to hang in there?
Well, we don't have a choice. We're definitely going to hang in there. We're not going to give up on the Chinese market. And hopefully, sooner than later, this gets resolved. We had been doing quite well over there, and we're looking forward to get back to that point and then some. It's a little frustrating where we're sitting now because it's completely out of our hands, out of our control. So it's tough and it's challenging. I'll leave the economics and the foreign policy to the experts. But certainly free trade is good for our culture, and we'd certainly support that. So our growers, like Mark Duffy had said, growers are optimists by nature, and they're going to hang in there. They're going to do everything they can to hang on to their farms and wait this out. But from my seat here, I'm making sure that our USDA and our congressional leaders know the pain that our growers are going through, and we'll do everything we can to help put some of the pressure on to get this resolved quickly.
Two Brians helping us break down the tariffs. That's Brian Wick, Executive Director of the Cape Cod Cranberry Growers Association. Thanks a lot for your time today.
Thank you. Good talk to you.
And also our thanks to Brian Brenberg, who chairs the program in business and finance at the King's College in Manhattan. Thanks to you as well.
My pleasure.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.